Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Zepke. Today's show is one I'm especially excited about because it's about a place that's at the top of my travel bucket list, Madagascar. My guest is Jervin Randria. She is an African specialist, Africa travel specialist with GoWay Travel. She is going to be a great resource for us. And if you're not familiar with GoWay Travel, it's one of the best travel companies. I highly recommend it there. It's been around for over 40 years. It's one of the oldest, largest, and most established travel companies in North America. And they offer a lot of great trips worldwide. And I'm going to give you their website later on in the show so you can look up some of their trips. But what I'm most familiar with is their Africa tours. And that's what we're going to talk about today, Madagascar. And so, and Jervin is going to be a great resource because she is actually from Africa and has been to Madagascar many times. I think she's been at least 8 or 9 times. And so I thank you for joining us today, Jervin.
It's a pleasure to be here, Terrence. Thank you for having me.
Okay. I want you to start by telling us why this trip is called 1,000 Views of Madagascar, Jervin.
Okay, so the name is really very literal. It's because this tour really captures the diversity of this island. Every step of the way, the landscape changes, and you literally get these snapshots of amazing scenes you go through, rice fields, rainforests, villages, lush green plateaus. I mean, from the hills to the southern part of the island, which is a more desert-type landscape, you have these huge granite domes and eroded sandstone formations. You see tombs along the way. You see, you know, spiny forests with cactus-type vegetation. And you end up the tour in the coastal area, so you have the amazing ocean and beach. It's just spectacular. It's really, the colors there are so vibrant. It's really a photographer's dream.
Wow. I should tell listeners here that this is the fourth largest island in the world and has been dubbed the 8th continent of the world. And you and I were talking a little bit before the show started, and I didn't know this. You were telling me, just to put this in perspective for people, this island is twice the size of Great Britain. And Madagascar is quite diverse. It differs greatly from one end of the island to the other as far as the climate and landscape. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. And it has all kinds of species of plants and wildlife that can't be found anywhere else in the world, such as lemurs. And I understand there's 103 species of lemurs on the island. So I have two questions here. One, I want to know how many of these lemurs participants can expect to see, and also what other animals might they see while they're on Madagascar, Jervin?
Okay, so I have to say out front, I mean, Madagascar is not your typical safari destination, so if you're thinking Africa, safari, that's not the place to go. They don't have the big five, but they do have very few different types of animals besides the lemurs, which I will talk about a little bit later. But one of the animals they have is called a fusa. It is a kind of a carnivore. It is a carnivore. It is related to the mongoose. But it looks a little bit like a puma, a smaller sized puma. But they are nocturnal, and so they are not that easy to see. In all my trips to Madagascar, I have not seen one in the wild. Besides fusa, they have crocodiles. They have more of the little creatures. So they have something called a tenorex, and these are kind of small insectivores, which are, I guess, the closest I could say is they're similar to a hedgehog. They have like 30 species of those. They have lots of bird species, over 200. They have a lot of different chameleons and geckos and frogs. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's really interesting to note that about 75% of the species found in Madagascar live nowhere else in the world. But I have to say, the star of the show in Madagascar is definitely the lemurs. The lemurs are just the most amazing primates. They are, and they're unique to Madagascar. I cannot explain how special it is when you actually see these creatures in the wild. There are so many different species, as you mentioned, about 103. That is absolutely correct. They are all endangered. And you don't see too many different species. So on this trip, you're going to have an opportunity to see at least, I would say, about 10 to 15 different species. That would be a good indication. But the species of lemurs are so diverse from, I mean, the tiniest lemur would be the mouse lemur, which is really tiny, about 30 grams in weight. And they go up to the Indri, which is the largest lemur, and is very distinct with its sound. The sound it makes is like a siren calling in the forest. So early in the morning, when you walk into the forest and you have all these Indri up in the trees, just as the sun rises and they're all making these different siren calls, it's just amazing.
Wow. Now, this is different, like you said, this is different from other parts of Africa. This is not your typical safari. And one of the things that makes it different is that these are mainly foot safaris, if I'm understanding this correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong. But also, if you could just give me some kind of idea, what kind of shape should participants be in? In other words, I guess I'm trying to figure out how physically challenging is this trip for people?
Okay, you are absolutely right, Terrence. There is definitely a lot of walking involved, and any place you want to see in Madagascar, you really have to walk to. I mean, you drive from point to point, and the drives are quite long as well, because you have to keep in mind you're covering a huge amount of distance. You're basically starting from the middle of the island and going all the way south and southwest. So you're covering quite a bit. The distance you cover by road is average of about 350 kilometers per day. But so you'd spend one day driving, practically driving the whole day, about 6 to 7 hours. And then you spend the next day mostly walking. So a typical walk would be about 3 to 5 hours, I would say, on average, depending on, you know, the sightings you see. But this is not daily. I mean, you're not walking every day 3 to 5 hours. I would say in the whole trip, you probably do about three long walks like this of 3 to 5 hours. So you do have to be fairly fit and aware of the walking involved. However, if anyone is concerned about their ability to keep up, it is possible to book a private trip, so you don't have to be part of the group and you don't have to be worried about holding anyone back. You can book a private trip on any day, and the difference in price is so minimal, so it's really worth doing it. And that way the trip can be more or less tailored to your level of fitness to some extent. But in some of the areas, like for example in a forest called Rano Mafana, there's a lot of up and down, so a lot of going uphill and downhill, and you can't avoid that, so it's something you need to be aware of. But if you like wanted to do the trip but didn't want to walk too much, you can also opt, if you're on a private trip, to just, you know, stay back at the lodge and relax on that day and not go out for the walk. But then, of course, you don't see the lemurs, because the lemurs are all in the forest and you have to do the walk to be able to see them.
Okay. And I should have mentioned this earlier, but this is an 11-day trip. So there's a good amount of balance, you're saying, between your travel time and the time you're getting out and exploring the forest. And there's also a balance. I think there's a couple of night safaris as well as day foot safaris. But I was wanting to get into a bit about the lodging during this 11 days. Were participants going to be staying in a combination of lodging or just tent camps, or what can they expect?
Okay, so it's not tented camps at all. They will be staying in lodges. However, you have to keep in mind that Madagascar is very much in its infancy in terms of touristic development. So while in the city of Tana, you have all ranges of accommodation from one star all the way up to five star. You have the Carlton Hotel in Tana, which is five star. But that's about as far as it goes in terms of five star. Once you leave the city and you go out into the countryside, a lot of the accommodation, I would say, would be more in two to three star level. And we have an option to upgrade the accommodation, which would make it more in the four star level. So it's very comfortable. It's very clean. You will have, ensuite bathrooms, flush toilets, hot water. You have electricity, though some of the areas depend on generators. So electricity may not be 24 hours. That's just maybe one or two areas. Apart from that, it's comfortable, but it's very much an adventure destination. So you have to bear that in mind. It's not at all luxurious and fancy. It is an adventure destination, but comfortable.
Okay, it sounds like you're not roughing it at all to me, but that sounds great. But let's talk about departures from this trip. I noticed that GoWay's trips are scheduled April to November, and I'm sure that's to coincide with the best time to go. But I wanted to talk about when it might be the best time not to go, like as far as your rainy season or being really, really hot or, just, you know, whatever. What might be the best time that you think to go within that time frame of April to November?
Absolutely. So, yeah, we have our scheduled tours from April to November to avoid the times of January to March, which is generally the cyclonic season in that area, in Madagascar and the Indian Ocean. And during that time, there is a lot of rainfall as well as, I mean, if a cyclone hits the island, then there's a lot of devastation and you don't want to be there at that time of the year. So otherwise, it's a very tropical climate, and the rest of the year is absolutely fine to travel. April to May is the time when everything is lush and green because it's just after the rains. July, August would be like the coolest time of the year. It's also a good time for whale watching in the west coast. September to December would be a good time for birding, and it's usually the breeding season at that time. And October to November is a time when there's a good chance of seeing baby lemurs. So, you know, it depends on what you're looking for, but generally any time out of January to March is absolutely fine to travel to Madagascar.
Okay. Well, tell us a bit here, because you're mostly in the interior here, but sometime you are spending some time in the capital city of Tana. Can you tell us a bit about this city and what people can expect when they get there?
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, so Tana is right in the center of the island, and it's actually a very small area. It's just about 35 square miles. However, there are like about 2 million people living in that area. So it is very, very busy, very full, and it's pretty congested. Traffic is a bit of a problem in Tana. It takes a long time to get from one place to another just because of the traffic. The roads are all single lane roads, and there are no traffic lights. But it is a lovely city. I love being in Tana. It's situated on a high plateau, and it has a really interesting mix of, you know, French, Chinese, Asian, African influences all merging together. It has some interesting marketplaces. I mean, along the sides of the roads, you have all these stalls that sell everything imaginable from sausages to fruit and flowers to car batteries, and anything you want, you can get it by the side of the road. And, it's a very interesting place. It's not a place I would spend too much time. So basically the one night we have there in this program gives you, you know, enough of time. It gives you an afternoon to see the city and explore it. And I think that that's absolutely great.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about here. I know there's a lot of activities that people might not be aware of that you're going to be doing besides the wildlife safaris and exploring the island. I think that you can go snorkeling, diving, swimming, fishing, all kinds of other activities in addition. You can tell me if that's not correct, Jervin, but I wanted to also just before you tell me that, some of the biggest surprises I thought in your itinerary was two things. One was wine tasting. I would never have expected that on Madagascar. And the whale watching. I don't know why I just wasn't thinking of that, but I understand you can get quite close to the whales. So if you want to tell us a little bit about all these activities, that would be great, Jervin.
Absolutely. Yeah, I understand what you're saying about the wine tasting for sure. You just don't associate Madagascar with wine. Yeah, but they do have wine, and it's pretty good, actually. It's not too bad. I mean, we used to make wine in Tanzania many years ago, and it was absolutely nothing compared to the wine they have there. So I quite like the wine. I must say it might be an acquired taste for some people. So, yeah, we do have a lot included in this trip. Really, this 11 days are going to be so full, but you're going to come out feeling that you have really experienced the country. So besides, seeing the lemurs, we have one night forest walk in the program. So you have a chance to see some of the nocturnal animals as well there. The rest of the walks are all by day. We have a visit of a village in one of the areas, so you really get close to the local people. And I must say, in Madagascar, there are about 18 different ethnic groups or tribes, so to say. And on this trip, you pass through areas and get to see at least about 5 different tribes. And you will notice the difference. They dress differently. They have a different dialect. They all speak Malagasy, but they have a different dialect. They have different traditions and customs. So as you go through the different areas, you actually get to see all this. They also have what I really like is the Orchid Park, which really has, I can't even count how many different species of wild orchids. Unfortunately, the best season to see the flowering orchids is Jan to March, which is as well the cyclonic season, so not the best time to be there. But it's still a good park to visit at other times of the year as well. And besides the wine tasting, you visit a paper-making industry where they make paper in the old way by hand, and they have little dried flowers that they put in the paper, which is really interesting. And as you mentioned, once you reach the coast, you have all the, you know, sea activities. You definitely have snorkeling. There's a coral reef there that's very interesting. You can go out for a day with the fishermen and actually, you know, experience fishing with the locals. And there's just so much more you can do.
You know, it's just unbelievable. There really is just so much you can do on this trip and this island. You just wouldn't believe could have so many different kinds of things that you can see and do. So I know it's hard to say, but maybe I could pin you down to say what you think a couple of the highlights of this trip are.
That's really hard. But for me, I have to say the highlight is definitely the lemurs. I absolutely love the lemurs. They are just the most gentlest, beautiful creatures. So seeing them, oh, it just makes my day. I love that. But besides the lemurs, the people are amazing. The people are so humble. They're so friendly. They have such an easygoing attitude. And they have such a rich culture. And they're so proud of their culture and their traditions. And it's amazing in this day and time, people still live in that way. You know, they have a lot of respect for the ancestors and you know, and stuff like that. So for me, it would be definitely the lemurs and the people.
Well, okay. I know it was hard to pin you down because it is just such a wonderful experience. And I think that the price for this trip, I had to look at it a couple of times to make sure that price was right because, you know, I've seen some trips that are so much more expensive than this. I mean, this is 11 days and all these different things you get to do. And I think it was like $2,300 a person. I mean, that doesn't include airfare, but still, I thought that was such a really great thing. But I know that Go Away, one of the things I like about them is that they are pretty much like one-stop shopping, I call it, because they will help travelers arrange your airfare. They'll help you arrange anything else you want because there are some other things that you can do, like excursions to Nosy Bay and things like that. So is that right, Gervin, that you can pretty much count on Go Away to help you get anything else you want to get set up from your airfare to optional excursions or...
That's absolutely right, Terrence. We do everything, and we have a specialist team. So we really offer expertise in the area. Like, as you know, I've been there so many times. My husband is actually from Madagascar, and the rest of our team as well. They've traveled all over Africa, either lived in Africa or been through the areas. So most of us have, extensive first-hand experience. So anything that anybody wants, we can put it together.
And I know this because I've traveled with Go Away, so I can speak from personal experience there. And also on the note, I did just want to say that Africa is one of my favorite places. It is my favorite place, actually, to go for any kind of adventure because no matter where I go in Africa, like you said, it's amazing how wonderful the people are. And being an American, I'm sometimes embarrassed by how we treat tourists in some parts of the U.S., but you don't get that in Africa. I've never been anywhere in Africa that they just weren't generally just seeming to care about your, you know, if you're having a good experience and all that. And I think they really go the extra mile, and they really are so warm and welcoming. And so I'm sure Madagascar is no exception to that. But I didn't know if there might be anything else before we close out the show today that you want to share with us about the island of Madagascar or specifically about this trip, the Thousand Views of Madagascar, Gervin.
Absolutely. On this trip in particular, I'd just like to mention, as you mentioned, the price is an absolutely great price. It is a lead-in price, however. So what I would suggest people do is, number one, always ask to upgrade your accommodation. Because you don't really want to be in a two-star in Madagascar. I mean, if you can get a four-star, the cost to upgrade is very, very minimal. It's really worth doing it. So I would say always upgrade your accommodation. And number two, consider taking an English-speaking guide, which is not included in the tour, but can be booked for you separately. And I think that makes a world of difference because the driver that you're with does speak some English, but he's not fluent in English, and he's not a specialist guide. If you're going to this country, you know, once in your life, you want to be sure that you really experience it to the fullest, and that's getting to know the culture, the traditions, getting to the stories of the places you're going through. So I would say investing in an English-speaking guide will absolutely make, you know, take that just a notch higher.
Okay. This great advice that you've given here just now and throughout the show, I just so appreciate it there. This is definitely what I would call an Uber adventure. So that's why I wanted to make sure that Madagascar was included this season on the show. And so for more on this itinerary or any of the other great trips offered by Go Away Travel, you can check out their website, which is www.goway.com. And you'll also find a link to Go Away on my site, as well as hundreds of free travel reports and resources. You can also subscribe to my weekly blog, Terrence Talks Travel. You can find more episodes of this show and see my trip pick of the week at www.terrencetalkstravel.com. And so I think I wish we could talk some more here because I have more questions, but I think you have hit all the highlights here. And so I think that's going to be, we're running out of time. So that's going to be it for today's show. But you can always call Go Away and pick their brain. They're just wonderful to help you with any questions you have. And believe me, you can't ask too many questions. I've tried. So just be sure and give them a call if you have any questions about this specific trip or anything else because they do go everywhere else in the world. And I just want to before we close, thank Gervin again for sharing all this great information. I really appreciate having you on the show. You are a wonderful resource. And remember, everyone, I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel, Uber Adventures. So stay tuned.